All the negative feelings that you've been having, it's time for a change. And I tell you, God can bring about a change in our lives. He can bring about a change because if he can take a caterpillar, as ugly as he is, put him into a cocoon and bring him out as a beautiful butterfly, what about you and me? He can put the Holy Spirit in us and bring us out as a matured Christian. Old things have passed away. I'm trying to hush, and all things have become new. May God bless you.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
Welcome to the Zion Hill Church Family Broadcast, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Joy Dara, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's zionhill.com. Now, let's join the broadcast already in progress.
Open your Bible to the book of Proverbs. Chapter 22, we're going to look at a very familiar scripture. While you are doing that, please permit me to mention that we are grateful to all of you, our guests in the house. Thank you for joining us this morning. Amen. I see some of my own family friends way back there. Grateful. It's always good to see you in the house. Also, please don't forget, on the fourth Sunday, which is this Sunday coming, your pastor is invited to minister at some city around Ruston area. Arcadia. Praise God. So as many of you as would like to come and support your pastor and come and celebrate with that church, we will appreciate it. Their program is at 3 p.m. So we will have church in the morning, and after church, we'll find something to eat. Then we'll all get on the luxury bus that God gave this church, and we'll cruise to Arcadia or somewhere. Amen. Also, please note that on the first Sunday in May, the scholarship committee told me we're going to be announcing winners of our scholarship in this church. Amen. Please, you don't need to call me because I don't know who won. So the way I lead this church is to empower others. So I've never been to their committee meetings. I don't need to be there. We selected people who are capable. They know education. They've been there. Many of them have truckload of degrees, so they know exactly what we need. And they have chosen somebody. You will find out the same time I find out. That's the way I roll. The one who tell me, I say, I don't need to know. That day, they will give me an envelope. I get a drum roll. Brother Julian is a pro. And then I'll tell you. And the winner is Pastor. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. So all minds clear. Praise the Lord. We are grateful to all of our graduates also. And some of these, I know Brother Israel Jr. is going to the military. And there's a lot of them have clear plans already in place. So we're going to celebrate all of our graduates also. Amen. Amen. Today is Youth Sunday, in case you're missing. And what I do on Youth Sunday is to invest the time to do some training for our young people. So, but you might be saying, man, I'm old. Trust me, you are never too old to learn. And all of us, to some extent, we are youth also. We are children of Almighty God. So all of us need training, from the pulpit to the pews. Amen. Amen. One of my secrets in life, I give this to my preachers. Every morning, I invest in going to school. There's something called webinars. There are podcasts. There are books. I always want to learn, you know, so that I can do better. Amen. So I encourage all my preachers to say, invest in your own self. It's called personal development. That's what I want to talk about today. How you can do better. There are things that God will do for you, but there are things you have to do for yourself. All minds clear? Well, let's go to training. The book is Proverbs. The chapter is 22, and the verse is 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he or she should go. And then when that child is old, he or she will not depart from it. That's what we want to talk about today. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we are grateful for every one of our children, young and old, they are seed of Abraham. Thank you, O God, for trusting us with this precious gift. Even we ourselves, we are children of God. Thank you for the privilege to hear from heaven today. Holy Spirit, I need your help. I want your people to know you more. The more we know you, the better we become. Glorify yourself in this house. Show yourself strong in the midst of your people. And I thank you for the anointing to receive, the anointing to learn, to know, to understand, the wisdom that comes only from heaven. We receive it by faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let me say thank you to our sound engineers. In case you don't know this, all of our worship team, they are singing this morning. They have five brand new microphones. Amen. So they have the tools to do better. Amen. So now the ball is in their court. Mm-hmm. We have 4 more new microphones. So this church will always be at the cutting edge of progress. So it's up to us to take advantage of this glorious opportunity. You know, I talk about opportunity. God gave you and me opportunity. Hallelujah. Our subject for discussion this morning is titled The Power of Self-Development. The Power of Self-Development. Please permit me to remind you of a very familiar story in the Word of God so you can see how important it is for all of us to develop ourselves. There's a group of people called the Israelites. Am I right about that? Another word for them, they are called sons of Jacob. What about this group of people? They're now a nation, by the way. They started out with a huge social and economic disadvantage. Am I right about that? Like you and me, they had nothing. You need to know concerning these people that they were slaves in Egypt. Am I right about that? Many of you can identify with the Israelites. Their ancestors were slaves. They knew poverty. They had nothing. Some of you, maybe your ancestry has never witnessed slavery, but you started poor. You have social an economic disadvantage. Let me tell you how God began to deal with you. It's the same way he deals with me. God is no respecter of person. He deals with the white folks the same way he deal with the black folks. He deal with the Americans the same way he deal with the Africans or Russians or Chinese. He gave everybody the same 24 hours. How do you come out of struggle? How do you come out of economic, social disadvantage? Here's what God does. God begins to whisper in their hearing. He began to speak into their conscience. And he's been doing the same thing to you and me. The Bible says God is the same yesterday, today. He will always be the same. Notice how he dealt with these Israelites. The first thing he told them, he said, I will take you to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. Now, you have to hear him. And you have to believe what God said. And you have to receive what God said. The problem with many of us, we hear the choir sing it. We read it for ourselves. We heard it in Sunday school. Some preacher tell you the same thing, but we never believe it. God said, don't look at your circumstance. Don't focus on your situation. There is a better day ahead. If you receive that right now, shout amen.
Amen.
God told them, I'm taking you to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. He's talking to people that had nothing. You know something that he told them, and he's telling you and me the same thing. He said, you are the head and not the tail. Put yourself in their shoe. Here you are. You are struggling to pay your rent. Here you are. You are working on a job that has very little end. And God is saying to you, you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You see how God brings people out? He is telling these people that had nothing, I will give you houses you never built. Trying to testify. That's how I came out. I had to believe what God said. I had to ignore my circumstance and don't pay attention to my situation. God said it. I believe it. Whether I believe it or not, God's word is settled anyway. I might as well. He said, I will give you wells that you didn't dig. He said, I will give you vineyards that you did not even plant. God said, trust me, I'll give all this to you. So then God will tell you how he's going to do it. You know what God told the Israelites? He said, you will have to survive on a journey. Your life journey right now is for you to survive it. It is in that journey that God will show you how all these things will come to pass. So the Israelites find themselves on a journey from Egypt to the promised land. In case you miss life, your life, my life, is a journey. You are traveling from Egypt to your promised land. I got to warn you now, don't quit in the middle of the road. Yes, some coyote may show up along the way. I wish I get time to preach the Bible. Yes, some boogerman. Yes, there may be some Goliath that say you don't qualified to have these blessings, but because your father said you can have it. No devil can curse what God bless. Open your mouth, shout amen. Amen. The devil will say, hey, you are not going to make it. There are giants in the land. But it's up to you. Whether you're going to quit or you're going to keep moving. Just look at somebody next to you and say, sister girl, keep moving. Hey, brother Baba, keep moving. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't give up. So how do you survive, Mr. and Mrs. Israel? How do you survive on this journey? By faith. How are you going to survive? In case you're making note, the first thing I told you, I've made 3 points. See, the professor and me always want to make sure I don't leave nobody behind. The first thing I told you is that God always whispers something much better than your circumstance. In case you miss it, the second point I make is that not only will God promise you houses and land, not only will God promise you healing for your body, not only will God promise you restoration of your family, of your business, of your ministry. The way you're going to receive it, He will put you on a journey. Your life is a journey. And the third point I'm making is that while you're on this journey, the only way you're going to make it is by faith. Tell somebody I got it. Why? Because it takes faith to get out of trouble. It takes faith to please God. It takes faith to make a transition from nothing to something. Life is full of transition. It is the will of God that you make a transition from poverty to wealth. It is the will of God for you to make a transition from nobody to somebody. It is the will of God for you to make a transition from being a sinner to being a saint. Somebody shout transition. To make this transition, it takes faith in God. Amen. It takes faith for them to get out of Egypt. Because God simply said, tonight, get you a lamb, kill a lamb, put the blood on your doorpost, you'll eat good. Tomorrow we are leaving. Will you believe today, if God said the same thing, there are some of you that will say, I ain't going nowhere. You know what they're lacking? No faith. Now, I know some of this thing may sound so far-fetched. I'll never do that. Remember, we have hurricane. Hello, Louisiana. And they told everybody, this is category one. You need to get out of town. You think everybody, Some people say, nah, I ain't going for that. I'm going to stay right here. I'm not going. Ain't nobody going to tell me. So the Bible is relevant. The Bible is not difficult to understand. That's how they came out of Egypt. They believed what God said. They had faith in God. God said, get out, they get out. But I got to help somebody. You know what? The faith they had to get out of Egypt is not going to be enough for them to survive in the wilderness. The problem with many children of God, you have faith. Everybody here had faith. Because the Bible said it. To everyone is given the measure of faith. So don't let anybody come to church, I got faith, you don't. No, that's a lying devil. Tell that sister, my pastor called you the devil. So having faith is not our problem. Our problem is that we're trying to use the same faith that got us out of Egypt. We're trying to use that same faith in the wilderness. It would take another level of faith. Also, you need to know the faith that you need to survive in the wilderness will not be adequate for you to get into the promised land. Different levels of faith. That is why we say new level, new devil. Can you all handle this? For the sake of time, let me just jump forward by saying the Israelites, eventually, they made the journey. Am I in the book or not? They entered into the promised land. I was going to walk you through what they had to deal with in their Christian journey. And if you know anything about the Bible, you will see the Bible say not only do they made it to the promised land, they became the envy of many nations. Did you see the transition? They start out, mama, they had nothing. But now, they are the envy of nations. In fact, they were so blessed. And this ought to be your life story. They were so blessed by the time people like David and Solomon was in power, the Bible say, other nations were coming to Israel, the same Israel that was broke, busted, disgusted. They had disadvantage socially, economically, politically. They had nothing. The same people. Now, people are coming from all nations to come and sit down to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. You know what I'm trying to tell you? God wants you and me to overcome every adversity, every obstacle in our lives. So briefly, I want to show you how you're going to do that. That's my assignment. Why is that important? Because I got to warn you, if you're not informed, you will be deformed. I got to warn you, my brother, my sister, if you're not inspired by the word of God, you will expire. I told people in this church many years ago, silver and gold, I don't have that, but such as I have, I give to you. The days of just whooping and hollering is over. We need to learn the word of God. We need to understand the word of God. If you're not updated, you will be outdated. Yes, So how are we going to make it? Find your neighbors. Just find somebody and say, neighbor, how are we going to make it? Mm-hmm. That's my assignment today. Because what you know determines how far you go in life. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that it is those who know that rule those who don't know? So I came to church one day, and the choir was singing, "You don't know like I know." What the? See, when you know something, what you know will sustain you in times of trouble. That's why the Bible say, mama, be still and know that I am God. So while everybody is freaking out, you will still be shaking your booty. You don't know like I know. And people will say, what's wrong with that sister girl? She knows something. Amen, somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, I noticed that our house, this house of worship, is full of gifts, is full of dreams. There are many visions in this house, but many people are not willing to pay the price. You see, what your man of God is asking of you, you count the cost. And you have to be willing to pay the price. How do you do that? It takes discipline. It takes personal development. I finally got to my topic. You cannot just wish for it. You cannot just sing about it. I cannot just preach about it. I got to be willing to pay the price. Amen. Amen. So excuses are basically trademarks of failure. You, me, all of us, we don't have any excuse. So the game changer for you and me to achieve our dreams, to enter into the promised land, if there is a game changer, I hear the Holy Spirit say, tell every children of God. They need discipline. Tell every child of God, myself included, we need personal development. So when I talk about development, we need to develop the whole person. That's what I call holistic development. Part of the problem, ladies and gentlemen, we develop certain parts. All right. But we need to develop all, the whole body, the whole man. You know, the whole of you and me consists of spirit, soul, and body. There are some people, they just spend incredible energy developing their body. By the way, let me go on record. I can't deal with this today, but I will one day. You see, your spirit has three compartments. How many? your soul has four compartments. And your body has five compartments. By the way, if you do the math, that's 12 items that you have to develop. So if you are giving 12 tests, 12 questions on an exam, and you only pass two, what grade is that, ladies and gentlemen? This is the problem of many Christians. By the way, when I say your soul has four compartments, I'm assuming you know this list. I'm not telling you anything new. I'm just trying to challenge you that you have to develop every part, not few of them. Your will is part of your soul. Am I right about it? Your mind is part of your soul. Am I right about it? Your emotion is part of your soul. Am I right about it? Then your intellect, you see how it makes four? Now, there are some people, they spend all their life developing their intellect, but they are notoriously deficient in managing their emotion. So I'm encouraging all of us, from me to you, all of us, let's make this house a house of true sophistication. The Bible says, in all you're getting, get understanding. Are you still here? Amen, somebody. We need personal development. Amen. The same thing is true with our body. We have five components, you know. With your eyes, you can see. With your nose, you can smell. Am I right about it? With your ears, you can hear. With your mouth, you can speak. There's one more, right? With your hands, he touched me. I'm trying to help somebody, you know. The Bible is so simple. You have to intentionally miss God. But the question must be asked, what part of your body are you developing? Many of you, you are consumed about looking pretty. But your head is empty. Oh, ain't nobody shouting today. Every area of our life must be developed. Amen. When I talk about your mind, to tell you how important we need to develop our mind, that is the center. You know, like a computer, you have a processing unit. That's where you process everything. So our mind must be developed. Our mind is the storage of our life. This is where you store information. Can you imagine if my body is pretty, I have Jerry curl, I have bicep and tricep, but the mind is empty? Everything that happened in your life, everything that is happening right now, guess where they are stored? In the mind. Likewise, we have the will. The reason why we need to develop our will is because it is our will that helps us to make decisions. Yes. To make choices, Some Christians, they are strong in prayer, but you can't get them to make any decision. That's why you have been dating Brother Baba since 1902, and he haven't decided whether he's going to marry you or not. You need to tell Brother Baba. You need to develop your will. Sometimes I will ask people, what do you want? Well, anything, anything. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, Sister Jess, if I go to the airport and I show up at the counter and they say, where are you going? And I say, I'm going anywhere. This is what Christians are doing. You got to develop your will. You got to know what you want. I learned that from my wife, by the way. By nature, I get up very early in the morning before everybody get up. That's what I learned from Jesus Christ. Before the break of day, I'm already working while many people are snoring. Because life is a competition. I want to stand out among my peers. I went to a program, some kind of homegoing, somewhere over there at the riverfront, and I was late. Don't tell anybody. I was late. So I showed up. So I knew I was late. And I just wanted to mind my own business and sit at the back.
All right, come on.
But the preachers who were there before me, bunch of them got up. I said, what's going on? They said, no, you come, you need to be right here. They were willing to give up their own chair for me. What will make you stand out among your peers is your willingness to pay the price. In humility, I have to tell them, no, you sit down. You came here on time. I was late, so I belong to the back. Don't worry about it. You sit down. God wants you to stand out among your peers. You are not just another school teacher. You are not just another professor. You are not just another firefighter. You are not just another worker in the hospital. God wants you to stand out among your peers. You are the light of this world. So develop your will. Develop your emotion. Your emotion is how you feel. I develop my will because my wife would get up and say, do you want a cup of tea or do you want a cup of coffee? My will, I have to put it to work and say, no, I want coffee. But suppose I say, I want anything. The Bible is not complicated. Tell somebody I got it. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to manage our emotion. If you're going to succeed, you need to maximize every opportunity God gives you. You need to develop yourself holistically, every area. America will tell you, just fix your body so that you have a Coca-Cola shape. All right. But the word of God says, develop every area of your life, including your spirit, including your soul, including your body. Amen, somebody. The message to you and I, all those three parts of your spirit must be delivered. All those four parts of your soul must be developed. All those five parts of your body must be developed. That's why God will say, take heed of what you hear. Take heed of how you hear. Take heed of what you say. Life and death. You see how the Bible works? Every one of these blessings must be developed. Amen. By the way, let me say the, oh man, my time. Okay, I'll stop. Wait, let me say this before I let you. Your mind has three windows. How many windows?
Three.
This is very important. One window opens the door of your past. Another window opens the doors of your present. Another window opens the door of your future. The reason why I wanted to mention this before I leave is because pay attention to which window you've been standing by. Some people, the reason why God cannot usher you to your promised land is because in your Christian journey, you always stay at the window of your past. Yesterday is gone. Hallelujah. I feel like shouting already. Get over it. Well, Pastor, you just don't know what I did. Well, that's the problem. I don't know, and I don't want to know. You got a past? Guess what? I got a past. All God's children. I'm trying to help somebody. Amen, somebody. That past, that window to our past is called memory window. The problem is that many of us dwell right at that window all day. All night. Oh, goodness. What about the window of your present? Is called the contemplation window. Instead of dwelling all the time in your past, look around and see what God is doing right now. Amen. Because with this window to your present, you are able to analyze what God is doing around you every day. Will you believe the Bible says His mercy is new every morning? But if you dwell in the memory lane, God is my witness, Pastor. I had to ask God to forgive me. We used to have church annual, and everything was about the past. I shut it down in Jesus' name. I could see the problem with the church. They are dwelling too much in the window of the past. And if you stay there too long, you won't see what God is doing right now. So I showed it them. I was a rookie, you know. When you're a rookie, you're given room to make mistakes. I want them to see what God is doing now. And of course, the window of the future is the window of foresight. You got to see the future. That's where your vision comes in. That's where your dream comes in. The ability to see beyond your now. I tell people all the time, birds that have eyes are common, but birds that have vision, they're very rare. That's what made eagle an exception. The only bird that God compare himself to is an eagle. He said, the Lord your God, like an eagle, guarded his children. Do you know that you're an eagle? You ought to be flying like an eagle. You ought to be talking like an eagle. You ought to be walking like an eagle. You are not a chicken. Chicken, they're all on the floor. They're going nowhere. They cannot fly. But you are an exception to the rule. Sometimes I would come to the church. I was just a rookie. I didn't know what I was doing back then. I would begin to say, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every day. You see, many of them look at me and say, what's wrong with this Negro? But in my spirit, I'm dwelling in that window of the future. I saw clearly where God is taking this church. And I'm eternally grateful. There were deacons, there were deaconesses, there were members. They trusted me. And they allowed me to drive the bus. And that's how we got to where we are now. And guess what? The best is yet to come. Don't dwell in your past. See what the Lord is doing right now. Look beyond your now. I got to stop. Everybody stand to your feet. I don't want to be. I'll continue this 11 a.m. Oh, that's 10 a.m., not 11. Jeez. I want us to pray. Is that all right? I want us to begin to develop every area of our lives. They are gifts from God. You can tell which area is weak. And work on it. Work on it. Look yourself in the mirror and say, okay, I see where the devil is kicking my behind. Amen. See, this year, things are going to change. Amen, amen somebody. Amen. Can I get an amen? I say this year, we're all going to change for the better. Amen. I got areas in my life that I need to work on. Personal development. And God will work with you. He's waiting to see, will you give him your mind? Will you give him your will? Will you let him heal you of your emotion? Will you give him your intellect, your smell, your touch, your taste, your hearing, your seeing, your spirit man? Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to learn, to grow, to do better for ourselves. Lord, I thank you for every one of the children in this church. It is because of them that you instructed me to teach. And yet, because we are adults, we are benefiting from the training of the children. Lord, I call you to remembrance of your word. You said if we train the children the way they should go, they would not depart from it when they grow up. I bind every forces of darkness that will try to steal the word from our heart. Lord, I thank you for self-discipline in this house. I thank you that we are motivated to do better. I thank you, oh God, that we're not going to give up on this Christian journey. You said it loud and clear, let the weak say, I am strong. We come against every voices of discouragement. We come against spirit of depression. We come against spirit of low self-esteem. Lord, I thank you that we are growing, we are maturing, and we are going to enter into a promised land. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. And the church say, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord God a clap offering. Again, I want to thank every one of you for your willingness to study the word of God with me. To whom much is given, much is required. I thank you for taking out of your busy schedule to come to church today. When we know better, we do better. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm asking you to do. If you're here today and you don't have a church home, and you would like to be a part of what God is doing in this church, after the benediction, please meet me right here. My wife and I will welcome you to this great church. Make no mistake about it, this is a great church. Yesterday, I was attending a wedding. Brother Eugene Miller got married yesterday. And bless God. Yeah. And bless God, I just went there just to support him. I was sitting down. And a gentleman came. Said, can I talk to you? I wanted to say, shut up, we're in the wedding. But it kept, so I just pretend as if I didn't hear his knock. But he said, I must talk to you. In the middle of a wedding, this man said, I am from North Carolina. He said, you don't know me. I came to your church and you preach about the Holy Spirit. He said, it changed my life forever. I never thought I would meet you in person. He said, God is my witness. My wife was sitting next to me. You know what I'm saying to you? I don't want people, passerby, to be receiving from this anointing that you are paying the bill. Don't miss the opportunity to grow. You are the reason why I'm here. The bread belongs to the children. I don't want somebody to be receiving and you the one paying the bills. Something ain't right with that picture. Think about it. All minds clear. And now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, I pray that he will rest upon us. I pray that he will abide in us. I pray that he will lead us and guide us in every area.